Happy Friday, March 26th, everyone. Welcome in. Hello to all of you beautiful souls. Welcome to Morning Invest, the only morning news show that's outside of the matrix. Coming up on today's show, Social Security recipients are wondering where the heck their stimulus checks are. You can blame some Trump appointees for blocking them from being mailed. That's right. And Biden answers tough questions at his first press conference. We waited a long time for this. It's the first press conference for President Biden, and it's longer into his presidency than any other president in modern American history has waited to have a press conference. Can you guess what topic? Let me know in the chat if you can guess what topic didn't even receive one question from reporters. Yes, these reporters that are bought and sold by billionaire corporations couldn't ask one very important question. Can you tell me what it is in the chat? See who gets it right. And coming up today, keeping them honest. Billionaires making millions, billions, and trillions off of your pain and suffering. And they've seen their wealth explode during the pandemic. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren are holding hearings this week to try to do something about it and hear from them. And if you want to be more informed and learn something new every morning, you should join our daily morning newsletter, which is sent out right to your inbox every morning between 6 a.m. and 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern. And the best part is it's totally free. All you need to do is go to morninginvest.com, the website, put in your email address. You'll be added to our list. It helps us, you know, supports our show, keeps us what we're doing here. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. And as I mentioned, side note, this Sunday, we're doing something special. So we're going to be giving some different buys on different stocks and different, you know, alternative currencies that I'm investing in right now. So we're going to have like a bit of a Sunday investor note. So you definitely want to sign up so you can get that Sunday newsletter. It's a special edition that we're doing on Sunday. So you please, please, please check it out. You do not want to miss that. So good to see everyone. Let's start this morning with a stimulus update. And let's start with those stimulus checks for Social Security recipients. Many of you have been writing me wondering what in the heck is happening with your stimulus check. Where is it? In fact, yesterday's show, we had a lot of you that are on SSI waiting. Where is my stimulus check? You know, you're a Social Security recipient. I'm not getting it. I don't understand. And we haven't been able to get answers. You know, we haven't been able to get any answers until today. Well, it turns out something dirty is going on. And we can blame the Social Security Trump appointees for it. So check this out. And I wish I was joking. I wish this was not true. But Trump appointees are sabotaging Biden's stimulus checks. On Wednesday, House Democrats Bill Pascrell and Richard Neal, John Larson, and Danny Davis, all members of the House Ways and Means Committee, sent a letter to the Social Security Administration Commissioner Andrew Saul, better call Saul, complete with an ultimatum. According to the letter, nearly 30 million Social Security and Supplemental Security Income recipients, some of them the country's poorest and neediest people, were being prevented from receiving their $1,400 stimulus checks as part of this American Rescue Plan that was just passed. Because Saul was refusing to send the necessary payment files over to the IRS. So basically, they were purposefully stalling. The IRS is waiting on this information from the Social Security Administration. And they weren't sending it. I mean, weeks have gone by now since the American Rescue Plan has been signed into law. And many Americans have already received their payments. But the Social Security Administration's inaction was standing in the way, blocking this, of these beneficiaries receiving this cash aid. Can you believe that? Now, there's escalating pressure on Better Call Saul. The letter gave him 24 hours to fix this. A few hours later, though, the SSA announced that they'd be sending the information the next day. So it literally took Democratic members of Congress to put pressure on them to send these files over to the IRS, and they'll have them over there, get them done. Dragging their feet on purpose. Now, Better Call Saul is the same guy, by the way, who wanted to make it more difficult for you to get access to benefits under the Social Security Administration as this Trump appointee. That's already been changed, thanks to President Biden. But what has not changed is the fact that he's still employed. So President Biden, with executive action, made changes that will allow those with disabilities and others to get access to the Social Security benefits. That was something that Biden did when he came into office. Good for him. But he hasn't gone far enough. He needs to can this guy. This guy needs to be canned immediately. Can you imagine the neediest Americans waiting on this money? And he's just like twiddling his thumbs. We'll see how they do with this. It's like a Dr. Evil approach or something, you know? And just for some context here, the SSA manages benefits for 61 million Americans who receive Social Security payments. 61 million Americans. Along with 5 million additional people who get disability benefits via this supplemental security program, this income program, the SSI program. And the SSA also helps determine Medicare eligibility. So basically, it manages a $1 trillion annual budget, dragging their feet. You have a growing number of members of Congress who are now pushing Democrats or calling for these people to be kicked out. Saul himself and his deputy, Black. Saul and Black. Get rid of both of these guys. Senator Sherrod Brown, let me pull up his letter. He sent, this is what Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio announced. I'm going to read this. Called for their resignation. This was his first act as chair of the Social Security and Pensions Subcommittee. And he's calling on President Biden to fire them both. The only problem is they're serving terms right now that go to 2025. That means they literally could be here longer than President Biden. So here's what Sherrod Brown wrote from his office. Announced today that he is assuming the chairmanship, blah, 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 and with the responsibility to protect and expand Social Security, address the insolvency of the multi-employer pension system, provide paid family and medical leave to American workers, and more. But his first act as chair of the subcommittee, Brown called for the immediate replacement of Social Security Commissioner Andrew Saul and Deputy Commissioner David Black. Saul and Black were key agents of the Trump agenda to systematically dismantle Social Security. Get them out of there. Meanwhile, there's yet another Trump appointee that's running the IRS. If that wasn't bad enough, you have another Trump appointee over at the IRS that could be stalling on that child tax credit from the stimulus. Now, remember, we've been covering this story here on this child tax credit, July being that deadline when we thought it would be implemented to get those child tax credits under the SSI. Well, on March 18th, Chuck Redig, who's the head of the IRS, told a House Ways and Means Committee that he wasn't sure, you know, that he could meet that deadline. And as you dig into his excuse, he said that the excuse was because that they extended the tax filing deadline for all of you. You know, instead of April 15th, it was moved to May 17th. And he said, quote, "We now have 1 month less to do the development for this child tax credit. I don't have the resources to devote to that portal until filing season ends, which is May 17th. So you've bought yourself an extra month and you have less time? You've given yourself a month more and now you have less time because now filing season is pushed back? It makes no sense. And according to the American Prospect, that alibi rings hollow. Because the later tax filing deadline gives the IRS an additional month to get the child tax credit system up and running before it's swamped with tax returns. Don't you see the logic in this? So now you've given yourself extra time. Use that time. It's not vacation. Set up the stinking portal so people can go in there and file to get their child tax credits. And for that matter, if the IRS is short-staffed, it's Redick's own fault because he's cut staff at the IRS. Yeah, they cut back so they don't have to go after and audit billionaires. So they've cut back at the IRS. Smart move during a pandemic. So it's time for Biden to fire these guys and replace them with people that are actually willing to help the American people, not make it more difficult to get these benefits. What do you think about that? Let me know in the comments below. Meanwhile, President Biden talked a little bit about the American Recovery Act yesterday in his very first press conference. This was, took longer into a presidency than we've seen from any American president in modern American history for a president to hold a press conference. Reporters asked questions. The majority of them were repetitive, of course. It's like this one reporter just asked you a question. And then another reporter asks the exact same question. Like, what a waste of time. Stop wasting our time with these ridiculous questions. But only two subjects came up, and they were all variants of the same subject. Immigration, southern border crisis, right? That was one question asked multiple times. And then the Senate filibuster. That was it. Biden had no actual news to offer on either of those subjects. In case you missed it, he's really, totally, absolutely committed to fixing the terrible situation at the border. That's what he said. And also not yet ready because he does not have the votes to blow up the filibuster. There was not a single question, not a single question about the pandemic. Not a single question that has, like, for the past year, completely altered our American landscape. Not a question from reporters on that at all. It's still 1,000 people a day in the United States are dying.
I mean, I don't know. I've heard rumors that, you know, he's getting questions ahead of time and stuff like that. I mean, what do you think about that? Like, do you think that that's accurate? Because, like, why would they not ask those questions?
Because they're more concerned about getting the questions on the filibuster. Because it just shows, I think, from the mainstream media organizations that they're tired of covering it. They're just not devoting airtime to it. Look, here's what's going on. It's the bosses, the mainstream media bosses. They want answers about the controversy at the border, right? Good questions, valid questions. And they want questions about the filibuster. And they want to make news. And, you know, there's nothing really that is going to drive viewership more than those questions right now. They want a controversy. This is how the news media operates. You know, he made a mention of last night. He talked about it, but no one followed up with him. He said, we're going to try to get to 200 million shots in that first 100 days. He had originally tried to get to 100. Now he's pushing for 200 million. So he brought that up, but no reporters followed up with him about distribution. No one followed up about access to vaccine. No one followed up about, some of these hot spots that are popping up in Colorado right now. And so there's a few other states, Connecticut, Colorado. We're seeing hot spots again. What are we going to do on Easter? Do you plan to, try to enforce, keep Americans home during Easter? Like, no questions like that. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. This is the media this is the fawning media, right? The liberal media loves to just fall all over themselves. He did not call on the OAN network. They were there. Not that they're a real network. He did not call on Newsmax. They're not a real network either. And he also didn't call on Fox. But he did call on a number of people, and he got some pretty testy exchanges. So let's watch some of the different testy exchanges. I'll play this one first on this question.
Sir, you blamed the last administration, but is your messaging in saying that these children are and will be allowed to stay in this country and work their way through this process, encouraging families like Joseph's to come?
The idea that I'm going to say, which I would never do, that if an unaccompanied child ends up at the border, we're just going to let him starve to death and stay on the other side. No previous administration did that either, except Trump. I'm not going to do it.
So, you know, is there, what is he going to do with these children that are coming to the border and, you know, sleeping on mats and so forth? So he got into a pretty fiery exchange. Well, it wasn't fiery, but he was not happy about the question, as I think anyone can understand. I think he answered this one pretty well, actually, on how does he feel about these children that are sleeping there and down there right now?
The Customs and Border Protection Facility in Donna, Texas, I was there, is at 1,556% capacity right now with mostly unaccompanied minors. There are kids that are sleeping on floors. They are packed into these pods. What is your reaction to these images that have come out from that particular facility? Is what's happening inside acceptable to you?
That's a serious question, right? It's an acceptable to me. Come on. That's why we're going to be moving 1,000 of those kids out quickly. That is totally unacceptable.
So he was not happy with that. Is that acceptable? I always think about in that context, like, how would Trump have answered that? Like, how would any, you know? I think it was a good answer. I mean, that's how I would have answered it. I think. Absolutely not. It's horrible. It's abysmal. We don't want it. It's awful. It's not acceptable to me at all. What did you think of that response? I mean, I don't know how else you're supposed to answer that. They're not turning these kids away who, you know, are coming to try to face a better life in this country. Get away from drug cartels and other awful, awful living conditions. You know, he also took some fawning questions. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's a question on the filibuster.
We're ready to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about.
So he's prepared, possibly, to get rid of the filibuster. We do know that over the past few days, he's been holding private meetings with historians, looking to possibly get rid of the filibuster. What would that mean going forward? And it's looking increasingly likely that that is going to happen. That's why you're hearing so much from Mitch McConnell crying about the idea of getting rid of the filibuster. It's likely to happen. But there was this back and forth tiff that happened yesterday, which I thought was pretty interesting to watch. So this reporter, Yamichi Alcindor, from the PBS NewsHour show, I believe she's from the PBS NewsHour show. She asked this, like, butt-kissing question. And, like, there was a bunch of other, like, liberal reporters that were there that were like, what a question was that? Watch this, like, you're so great.
You've said over and over again that immigrants shouldn't come to this country right now. This isn't the time to come. That message is not being received. Instead, the perception of you that got you elected as a moral, decent man is the reason why a lot of immigrants are coming to this country and entrusting you with unaccompanied minors. How do you resolve that tension? And how are you choosing which families can stay and which can go, given the fact that even though with Title 42, there are some families that are staying? And is there a timeline for when we won't be seeing these overcrowded facilities run by CPB when it comes to unaccompanied minors?
You know, you're such a humane and decent man. No wonder they're coming. I mean, that sounds like an OAN question to President Trump during one of those press conferences that everyone mocked. Like, Mr. President, you've been amazing. You've just been, I can't tell you how lucky we are to have such a humane president.
Well, that's just why
you've
that's
said
to me
over
why
and just over again that immigrants shouldn't come to this country right now. This isn't the time to come. That message is not being received. Instead, the perception of you that got you elected as a moral, decent man is the reason why a lot of immigrants are coming to this country and entrusting you with unaccompanied minors.
Because you're such a moral and decent man, that's why they're coming.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem like, I mean, they're like substantive questions that just weren't asked. So it's like, hey, you guys, will let you in. We'll let the media in, but you can ask questions about this. You know, we're not going to ask any questions from any networks that we know would ask questions to try to get Biden. So it's like, it just felt, I don't know, just felt too fluffy.
Oh, it was a big wet kiss. And then, of course, you know, he didn't call on Fox. He didn't call on OAN. He didn't call on Newsmax. And Fox was upset about it. Their reporter, Peter Doocy, had a huge binder of questions. He's like, yeah, I'm serious. I had a lot of questions I wanted to ask. He asked like 12 reporters or 10 reporters questions. And none of them were, conservative media. But that's how this goes. You know, when you have like a fawning press corps, that's what happens here. But it was interesting because her question got rebuttal from Jennifer Rubin over at the Washington Post. A fellow reporter said, Yamichi makes the statement unproven that his words set off a surge at the border. This is factually wrong. To which then they got into a Twitter spat yesterday. Yamichi then fired back, perhaps you haven't interviewed migrants. Ooh, burn. And ask them this question. But reporting bears out what I said, which is that some migrants are coming because of the perception that President Biden is more humane and is allowing unaccompanied minors to stay. So unfortunately, you're factually wrong. Ooh. And then this person jumps in, and Biden calmly and effortlessly explained precisely why the surges are completely consistent with historical trends, and that the surges were actually bigger under Trump. It's so good to have a grown-up in charge. So is that true? Really? Okay, let's take a look at some facts this morning on the surge at the border. From a year ago in 20 to this year, 2021, 165 increase at Big Bend, Texas. Del Rio, Texas, 141% increase. 31% increase from in El Centro. 144% increase in El Paso. 20% in Laredo. Rio Grande, 114, all the way down. Those are pretty big increases. Unaccompanied alien children, 0 to 17-year-old, coming to the United States by sectors in Texas. So that's the number coming from the U.S. Border Patrol at the southern border. But you know, don't let facts get in the way, folks. Do not let facts get in the way. President Biden also dealing with the question about tax reform and what's going to happen there, as a number of advocates now right now are trying to, they're rallying their boats. They're getting their war weapons ready to go after Biden on taxes, because we know that a huge tax increase is coming for billionaires. And they're rallying right now. They're calling it, this is going to be the Super Bowl of tax reform. Groups, according to CNBC this morning, are gearing up for a fight over Biden that is going to raise taxes on the rich. The plan is expected to include tax increases on wealthier families and corporations as part of Biden's massive infrastructure proposal, right? Like, how are you going to pay for $3 trillion of infrastructure? Guess what? You're going to have to raise taxes on businesses and the richest Americans like Jeff Bezos and others. That's why Bernie Sanders is going after billionaires along with Elizabeth Warren. And we'll get to that in a moment. First, I want to tell you about our show sponsor today, our friends over at stamps.com. You know, you need to save time. I can't stand going to the post office. It's one of those, I'd rather have a root canal than go wait in the line at the post office. And that's what you can do with stamps.com. You don't have to go there or do any of that. You can just stay home, print all your postage right from your computer, and you're going to actually get a free digital scale and a 4-week trial plus free postage when you give them a try and use our promo code INVEST. Just at the top of the page, when you go to stamps.com, there's a little microphone icon at the top. Just type in the word INVEST and you get a free digital scale and free postage. What's great about stamps.com is it brings the entire U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. It's a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices or an online seller shipping out boxes and orders, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, stamps.com can handle all of it. And you save 40% off post office rates and 62% off of UPS shipping rates. So great. Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. So why wouldn't you use it? I mean, it makes no sense, right? Why would you go to the post office and pay 40% more? Why would you go to UPS and pay, ridiculous. You're going to save 62%. Of course you would use this. So check them out today. Go to stamps.com. Click on the little microphone at the top of the homepage and just type in the word invest. That's stamps.com. Promo code invest to get that free digital scale and free postage. Check them out and try their trial for a few weeks. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. All right. I want to talk about, let's keep them honest today, the billionaires and the billionaire class. Some interesting new reporting out this morning reveals that a record number of people in the United States lost their jobs and struggled to put food on the table during the past year of the pandemic. How many of you watching right now have been experiencing that? And the combined wealth of 657 billionaires in the country grew more than $1.3 trillion. Let me repeat that. 657 billionaires in the country grew their wealth more than $1.3 trillion over the last year. Nearly 45%, including Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, saw his personal wealth increase by $65 billion. More than $7 million every hour he is making. How much did you make this hour? Joe, let's ask Joe Manchin. Because $11 an hour is okay for him in West Virginia. Bernie Sanders wants $15 an hour. But Jeff Bezos is making $7 million every hour. And they're often leading companies who've benefited from the pandemic conditions by us having essentially their competition shut down. It's pretty remarkable. Chuck Collins is a reporter on this. He's written a couple of books on this and these profiteers. And his take is pretty startling. Listen to the data that Chuck Collins has uncovered about these trillionaires, these billionaires, and how they can, and by the way, they've laid people off and still made billions in profits.
And you mentioned a couple who, like Jeff Bezos, like Elon Musk. But what we found was that there was a whole group of people, almost 50 billionaires, whose wealth has gone up over 100%. And they are often leading companies who have benefited from the pandemic conditions by having essentially their competition shut down. So they're the online retailers, the online telemedicine. And then think about it, any of the companies that we're sort of depending on while a bricks and mortar economy has been shut down, those are the ones that have seen their wealth surge dramatically. And as you said, you know, we're talking about 657 billionaires whose combined wealth is, you know, 1.3 trillion increase in the last year, but they have 4.2 trillion total, which is, you know, double, almost double the amount of the wealth of the bottom half of U.S. households. So these folks have reaped enormous windfalls in this pandemic.
Aretha Hope in our chat says Walmart is firing people. Bernadette Coates says Jeff Bezos should have to pay 4%. You know, it's unbelievable. And this is why Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders proposing new measures to address the economic inequality in the country. And they're hoping holding hearings this week to try to stop it. Here's Bernie Sanders at this hearing talking about these billionaires.
And meanwhile, we're looking at more hunger in America than at any time in decades.
Senator Sanders is holding another hearing.
We'll be asking about how it happens that the top 0.1% now owns more wealth than the bottom 90%. 0.1%, more wealth than the bottom 90%. And two individuals, Bezos and Musk, now own more wealth than the bottom 40%. And meanwhile, we're looking at more hunger in America than at any time in decades.
Senators.
And we're quibbling over, and we have guys like this, Better Call Saul, keeping you from getting your stimulus checks from the Social Security Administration because he's dragging his feet on purpose. And this guy at the IRS saying, these Trump appointees, we can't, you know, we just don't think we can get it done. How are we going to get this child tax credit done by July? You know, we're just too busy. We don't think we can get it done. Meanwhile, look at these numbers this morning. There are now more Americans on long-term unemployment than there are on regular state unemployment aid. Millions of Americans have been jobless for a year, according to Heather Long, who's done amazing reporting over through this pandemic, by the way. She really finds interesting statistics that everyone else is ignoring. Millions of Americans out of work for over a year. That question, by the way, came up during the Fed Chief Jerome Powell testimony the other day. Like, we know you've been worried, Powell, about this long-term unemployment. People unemployed for a long amount of time, they lose their skills. I mean, I play guitar, and I don't play it as much as I'd like to at all. And I know when I don't play, fingers get rusty. You know, these guitars back here get covered in dust. You lose skills. That's the same thing with workers, making them less hireable and less likely to go back to a job once it becomes available again. Huge problems. And so this data, you know, yes, jobs numbers were down a little bit, an improvement last week. We got the new jobs numbers yesterday. But still, when you dive into this data, it's not good. 18 million have been jobless for a year. And look at veterans too, like 8,000 veterans. Like we're a country, we can spend $750 billion a year on our defense budget. But when it comes to veterans, what do we do there? Bye-bye. you're not part of the military-industrial complex anymore. Not really helping us in any meaningful way, unless you want to go become a defense contractor yourself now that you're out of the military. Meanwhile, Amazon workers still trying to unionize in Alabama, and this would help them improve their working conditions, like, you know, not having to go to the bathroom in bottles because you're afraid of getting yelled at for missing your quota. Now, we covered this story on yesterday's show, and there's some more backlash this morning over this Amazon tweet. Now, this, you remember yesterday, Amazon, this was Amazon's own Twitter account tweeting this. When Mark, Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin tweeted this in response to the CEO, said paying work. So David Clark, the CEO of Amazon, tweeted, "We welcome Senator Sanders to Birmingham and appreciate his push for a progressive workplace. I often say that we are the Bernie Sanders of employers, but that's not quite right because we actually deliver a progressive workplace," like a slap to Bernie Sanders, basically. Like, oh, we are a progressive workplace. Bernie Sanders just says he is, but then can't get legislation passed. That's his fault, by the way. Then Representative Mark Pocan responds, "Paying workers $15 an hour doesn't make you a progressive workplace when you union bust and make workers urinate in water bottles." And then, of course, Amazon fired back, "You don't really believe the peeing in bottles thing, do you? If that were true, no one would work for us. The truth is that we have over 1 million incredible employees around the world who are proud of what they do and have great wages and health care from day one." Ooh, well, this set off a firestorm yesterday. And Ken Klippenstein, who I've actually invited to come on the show, he did some great reporting over The Intercept on this. "Documents show Amazon is aware drivers pee in bottles and even go to the bathroom on route, on their routes, despite company denial." Yeah. He has documents. He knows that he's received that Amazon is aware of this. To which this tweet, this article from Vice, also reporters at Vice and The Intercept doing great work on this. They jumped all over the story. "Amazon denies workers pee in bottles. Well, here are those pee bottles." But yeah, that doesn't happen though. Total denial. So these guys continue to make trillions. They continue to rake in money off the backs of workers, discouraging them from unionizing. Workers in Minnesota at an Amazon warehouse stormed out over for a variety of reasons. Thought that they were being retaliated against for actually just wanting to have a normal shift and not have to break their back. Oh, we can't go to the bathroom because we might not hit our quota and then we will be fired. Oh, and you can biometrically track me for everything. But so this, you know, when you send out a tweet like this, Amazon, you better expect to have, you know, proof to back it up. Well, reporters managed to get proof that prove that you're full of crap. Did you find out from your brother, by the way? Now, you said your brother worked in Amazon. I mean, you know, it's like they don't want to go. They're worried about missing this quota. So they just, you know, they, you know, that's what they do. And then they don't want to walk like 2 miles to get to the bathroom inside one of these big warehouses, you know?
Yeah. He said that, our facility wasn't ran that way. Honestly, the people that had trouble with time off task were people that meandered, came back late from break, lunch. We essentially were given 45 minutes a shift that we could be one on the clock, not on break and not working. It's an unpopular opinion for sure. It honestly wasn't that bad of a place to work. It was busy and hectic, but you could see the people that wouldn't make it. It's not for everybody. There is pressure for sure, as a percentage of the lowest productivity employees are let go every week. If you were bottom 5% 2 weeks in a row, you had to be retrained. If you remained there, you were terminated. Usually they had people retrained before letting them go.
Wow. Matthias in our chat says, and we can open up for some super chats here now. Matthias says, "My roommate was fired for being 1 minute over the bathroom break at Amazon." Wow. Nicole Spann says, Amazon has been disgusting. When it comes to their employees, I work in the store at Whole Foods. There are COVID-19 cases every other day at my location. Sin Tolstega says, Clayton said more about the SSA in 5 minutes than SSA has said, period. Thank you. It's disgusting. I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. This guy who's wanted to, you know, Trump appoints him, who's not a friend of the Social Security Administration. I mean, he's not a friend of you getting Social Security. He's, you know, he's wanted to dismantle it. And he tried to, and he did dismantle big pieces of it. And so did this guy at the IRS, laying people off, cuts. And these are the people we're relying on to get stimulus out to you guys? The old white guys really care about you, don't they? Hey, we got three new channel members today. You can become a channel member and support independent journalism by going to morninginvest.com/join. Very easy to do, morninginvest.com/join. And you can support our show for less than a cup of coffee. So thank you so much for watching us give you, or we hope, the straight skinny, straight news with no spin.
All right, ready?
Let's fire him up.
All right, here we go. We got Terry Fennell, $4.99. Thank you. Gina Peoples, new member. Welcome to the gold level. Francisco Gonzalez, $5. Hello. Any news on what happens to us people that were supposed to be DD the stimulus on the 17th, but were sent to a tax prep account and now missing?
Francisco, if you were supposed to be on a direct deposit, the stimulus on the 17th, it was sent to a tax prep account and it's now missing. I would talk, first of all, you have to talk to your tax preparation account people. Like, are you with H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt? Let's ask our, because we have a, we have two people who watch our show from Jackson Hewitt here watching right now. And Talking Tax, John, if anyone wants to answer that question, are they supposed to go to like Jackson Hewitt and ask them if it was sent to that account, or has that account been closed and you now have no access to it? I ultimately think if you didn't get access to it, there is a recovery rebate section on their website where you will have to go. Let me pull it up here. On IRS.gov, you'll have to go to their website. And here we go. So if you're paying attention, Francisco, take a look at your screen. See this big pile of money picture right here? If you didn't get it, you'll want to go to this recovery rebate credit. This will cover all of the recovery stimulus packages, the $1,200 one, the $600 one, and this most recent $1,400 one. So if you don't think you got it, go here. But Talking Tax, John says, my first contact would be the tax prep place, such as H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt, before contacting the IRS. Okay, I think we covered you on that question, Francisco. Thank you, John, for answering it.
Okay, we got Heather Taylor, new member, welcome. Richard Lehman, $2. Does Biden finish his term or Harris?
That's a good question. I the conspiracy theorist in me thinks that Biden, we'll see. But I mean, if he, resigns and turns the reins over to Harris, I mean, that might be. But I think if you heard him at that press conference, he's basically like, I got two more years. I think I could be a two-term president. And there were a lot of, MAGA people who think that he's demented and he doesn't, cognitively. So Republicans were watching this press conference very closely last night, and they were disappointed. In fact, a number of members of the Republican side, senators, and came forward yesterday and said, we've had private meetings with him where he is sharp as a tack on these issues, and no. So there's like this MAGA conspiracy, over here that says he's like, he's got dementia. And then you have like Republicans actually who came to his defense and said, no, we had very substantive discussions about nuanced details in these pieces of legislation. And no. And watched that press conference last night, like trying to trip him up on any of those things, didn't happen. And I read a couple of different Republican conservative takes on the press conference last night. And they're like, you know, MAGA people are going to be upset because he did well. But the question is age. I mean, he's what, 78? I don't know. If they have the stamina to do that kind of job at that age and be, you know, cognitively there, we'll see.
Yeah, not many of them come in with white hair. They come in with regular hair and then they leave with white hair. So if he came in with white hair, what's he going to leave with? No hair?
It's good. Yeah, exactly.
Zenith Star 20, $10. I was curious your thoughts on Biden's statements about Putin and what you believe Biden may have meant when he said Putin will pay and you will see soon. Kind of off topic, LOL. Just curious.
I don't know. I thought it was weird. You know, because right now you've got like China and Russia kind of sending messages to the President Biden, which is like, hey, don't judge us. Like, leave us alone. And I thought it was he told over, because there was two different moments. You know, this wasn't just the first one. Over the weekend, remember, where he was interviewed by George Stephanopoulos, he was asked about Russia and he said, Putin will pay the price. Like, what does that mean, though? You know, diplomatically, tariffs,
for the wall,
trade, or militarily, you know, and then of course this comment last night too, and it's bizarre. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Look, of course they are ramping up pressure. You and I were texting about this last night, but it's like, the U.S. now needs new enemies, right? China. We need to pretend that we need new enemies. So we've got to build up a massive military budget, even though our military is already twice as large, or even almost three times as large as China's. You're hearing now, you know, we need to keep building up this military. We got to keep up with China. It's like,
I like what General Clark said about it. He said, you know, when you're a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. And it's like, we have such a big military, we have to justify its size by finding something to do with it. It's like, we can't just leave it dormant. It has to be doing something. Otherwise, they don't get that money. You know, it can't sit dormant. It has to do something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can't just have these like jet planes and drones sitting there, you know, using them at a kid's soccer practice. They've got to be used for what they're used for, which is bombing and killing people. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, basically comparing last night, Chinese President Xi to Putin, and a few days earlier called Putin a killer. That's what he said. So you're calling them the same people. How are we going to, you know, so you're seeing this ramped up. Here we are. We're coming for you, China. And that's how we're going to justify this massive military industrial complex.
Well, and did you see that where it was talking about how what we spend on intelligence alone is more than Russia spends on their entire military?
Yeah, because when we add up our military, it's more than all of the 10 most, the biggest nations combined.
Six of which are our allies.
Right, right. So we need to be bigger than our allies.
Matthew Hooker, $5. I think everyone's just burned out on super conservative right-wing media for the past 4 years.
I think so. I want to show you this, though. Rick Hoyt, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I'm just burned out on media in general, like mainstream media. It's a joke. It's a complete joke. You're referring to Rick saying you're wrong about the China and Russia have more ships and subs and aircraft than the U.S.?
Yeah, I want to try to get up this. Let's kill the music a second. So yesterday, over the weekend, there was a pretty remarkable piece of video that surfaced. I was unaware of it. Hat tip to you, David, but also to Kyle Kalinske for finding this video. And it's a show on CNN that I never watch. Fareed Zakaria's show, GPS 360 or whatever it's called, GPS or something. And, you know, we talk on this show all the time about the military-industrial complex and the amount of money that we spend on our military when millions of Americans are suffering. When we have a border crisis, we have, you know, kids that don't have internet access for virtual schooling, we have roads crumbling and bridges crumbling, we have processed food for kids' lunches. Why are we the fattest country in the world? Yet we have military bases all over the world. And over the past few weeks, since President Biden has been inaugurated, you've been hearing the drumbeats now about China and this justification for this massive military budget that they, you know, of course, defense contractors want this money increased. They want their budget increased, and they need to justify it some way. They need to justify it some way by building up their military and creating a new enemy and making us believe that we're under imminent attack. You know, my son last night asked me, because it was playing something about Afghanistan, my son said, "What's going on in Afghanistan?" I said, "Well, we're trying to get out of there, but who knows if the military-industrial complex will let us actually remove ourselves from Afghanistan. Why are we still in a war 19 years later? What are we doing there? What are we doing in Syria?"
I mean, technically, we never left World War II.
Right, yeah. We have bases in Ramstein, Germany, where we've launched these drones. In Japan, where we have bases.
Everywhere we go, we never leave.
All throughout Europe. Yeah, you cannot, you know, I told my son, it's very difficult to like wind that clock back. And I explained to him what Dwight Eisenhower said when he was leaving as president of the United States, and he was the Allied Supreme Commander of World War II, saying, you know, this military entrenched industrial complex, you know, we need to be aware of it, because it's now, once it's entrenched, you're never going to put that genie back in the bottle.
It's imagine,
exactly the case.
Imagine a big snowball rolling down a hill and it's getting bigger and gaining momentum. It's not going to, you can't stop it until it hits something bigger than it that has the power to stop it.
Right. And it's all promulgated by fear, right? So we need to build up this massive military because, well, what's going to happen with the Soviet Union? You know, what's going to happen with China? Are they going to take, so my son said, well, why do we have so many bases? I said, good question, son. You know, people will argue that it makes us safer. And I say, safer from whom? Think about the violence that we've seen in the United States at home. I mean, literally, the violence we've seen in the United States has skyrocketed. We are nearing the UNESCO World Peace Index, close to Iraq for unsafe countries. Go to the top of the list, the safest countries in the world, New Zealand, Iceland, Portugal. United States, like 130th on the list, close to Iraq. So who are we actually, how are we making ourselves safer? From who? Putin? Do you feel like you're under immediate threat by Putin?
If you watch Rachel Maddow, you do.
Right. Do you feel like you're under immediate threat from President Xi, China? Like we're being attacked, and that so much so that we can talk about cybersecurity, of course. We can talk about diplomatic discussions. We can talk about trade. But to build up massive aircraft carriers and jets and bombs to continue this charade so that we can show strength in the South China Sea?
Well,
anyway, this weekend, this Fareed's...
I just want to say really quick, like the thing is, like what people don't understand is like we're supposed to be fighting this global war on terror. But for every innocent person we've killed, which is the majority of people, 99% of the people killed in these drone strikes have been innocent people. For every innocent person we kill, 10 more want to hurt us. So we've exponentially increased the people around the world that want to hurt us simply because we're killing them. What would we do?
And that's what I said. That's what I said to my son. I said, do you think like, he said, why don't we have all these bases? I don't get it. I said, it's because it's part of this military industrial complex under the guise of making us safer. And we can extend our footprint all over the world. And I said, imagine, do you think there would ever be a Chinese military base in the United States? Do you think that there would be an Italian military base in the United States? That we would let them fly jets in the United States and do training runs? Absolutely not. But we do that in Germany. We do that all over the world. We do that in Portugal, Spain, Italy, France. We were in Naples, just driving down, and we're like, oh, huge military base, U.S. military base. Like, oh, you never know where you're going to pop up and see a military base. So why are we there? And why are we bombing these countries and not even talking about it? Why is it not on the nightly news? Not even talking about it. So Fareed Zakaria at CNN, I can't believe I'm saying this. And I think Kyle Kulinski had the same response I did, which is, holy smokes. He said, I don't want to steal his thunder at all, because the way that Kyle put it, I think, was apt. He said, this is single-handedly the best piece of video I've seen from CNN. The description and the breakdown of the military-industrial complex is spot on. He's like, I'm not even going to present this with any caveats. Like, there's no, he could have done this better or this tweak this better. No. Kyle said, this is perfect. I watched this 3 times last night. And so, Rick, I'm using this to refute your numbers about the amount of aircraft that you say Russia has more than us, that China has more than us. So just watch this this breakdown from Fareed Zakaria on the military-industrial complex.
During his visit to Asia this week, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin outlined his key concern.
And while we were focused on issues in the Middle East, China has modernized its military. And so our goal is to make sure that we maintain a competitive edge over China or anyone else.
Welcome to the new age of bloated Pentagon budgets, all to be justified by the great Chinese threat. What Austin calls America's edge over China is more like a chasm. The United States has nearly 20 times the number of nuclear warheads as China. It has twice the tonnage of warships at sea, including 11 nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, compared with China's 2 carriers, which are much less advanced.
Did you hear that, Rick? Just want to make sure that's why I'm playing this, so we can talk about actual numbers here.
Washington has over 2,000 modern fighter jets, compared to Beijing's roughly 600, according to national security analyst Sebastian Roblin. And the U.S. deploys this power using a vast network of some 800 overseas bases.
800?
China has 3. China spends about $250 billion on its military, which is a third as much as the United States. Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution notes that if China were in NATO, we would berate it for inadequate burden sharing, since its military outlays fall well below NATO's 2% minimum. At the height of its imperial might in the late 19th century, when it ruled over a quarter of the world's population, Great Britain adopted a two-power standard. Its navy had to be larger than the next two put together. U.S. military spending remains larger than the next 10 countries put together, 6 of which are Washington's close allies. America's intelligence budget alone, around $85 billion, is much larger than Russia's total defense spending. And yet the U.S. never imagines that this kind of spending could ever be seen by other countries as worrying or threatening. In requesting even more money for his region, the head of the Indo-Pacific Command, Admiral Davidson, remarked on China's increases in defense spending.
I cannot for the life of me understand some of the capabilities that they're putting in the field unless it is an aggressive posture.
But the fact that Washington is spending more on the military than it did at the height of the Vietnam War, even accounting for inflation, should threaten no one. In any case, the size of military spending is a misleading indicator of strength. Far more important are the objective sort and the political military strategy used to achieve those objectives. The U.S. has probably outspent the Taliban by, 10,000 to 1 in Afghanistan. And yet Washington has been unable to achieve its objective there, ensuring that the Kabul government rules the country uncontested. If the United States defines its goals carefully and assembles an intelligent and consistent political and military strategy to achieve them, it can succeed. Without that, millions of troops and trillions of dollars will not guarantee victory. Bigness is not a substitute for brains. Consider 2 contrasting exercises of power. America's F-35 fighter jet program, bedeviled by cost overruns and technical problems, will ultimately cost taxpayers $1.7 trillion, according to a document obtained by Bloomberg. China will likely spend a comparable amount of money on its Belt and Road Initiative, an ambitious set of loans, aid, and financing for infrastructure projects across the world aimed at creating greater interdependence with dozens of countries that are important to Beijing. Which do you think is money better spent? The Pentagon operates in a realm apart from any other government agency. It spends money on a scale and wastes money on a scale that is almost unimaginable. Every government agency is required to audit its accounts. But for decades, the Pentagon simply flouted this law. In 2018, it finally obeyed, paying $400 million for 1,200 auditors to examine its books. Yet it still could not get a clean bill of health. As Matt Taibbi notes in a brilliant expose of Pentagon accounting, the auditors were unable to pass the Pentagon or flunk it. They could only offer no opinion, explaining the military's empire of hundreds of acronymic accounting silos was too illogical to penetrate. The Defense Department has failed to pass two more audits. Having spent nearly two decades fighting wars in the Middle East without much success, the Pentagon will now revert to its favorite kind of conflict, a Cold War with a nuclear power. It can raise endless amounts of money to outpace China, even if nuclear deterrence makes it unlikely there will be an actual fighting war in Asia. Of course, there might be budget wars in Washington, but those are the battles the Pentagon knows how to win. Go to CNN.com/Fareed.
Powerful. Now, Rick is right in this, in the numerosity piece about the Navy. It's important to point out that yes, China has more ships, but not even close to the power that we have. Not even in the same ballpark, as the report from Brookings Institute lays out perfectly. Even with like a numerosity, we are just a behemoth of power. Not even close to what China has. We crush them.
Well, and actually do imagine if we did spend more time, you know, we still have antiquated railroads. We still have antiquated systems in this country. And these other countries, like even look at the internet infrastructure. All these other countries are killing us with internet. You can't go to a hotel and get like good internet anymore, like in the United States. So we put no money. It all right. goes to war. None of it goes for infrastructure. None of it goes for advancements in technology on, you know, transportation or anything. It takes Elon Musk, you know, fighting the system, trying to come up with stuff like that, but it gets no help.
Yeah. So we can go. You can go to Rwanda and get better internet coverage than you can in the United States. I love to bring out us. We are lower on the internet speed list than the country of Estonia. But we can spend on this, we can buy this stuff left and right. Just imagine if we, yeah, like what they did, like investing in infrastructure. How are we going to, you know, how are we going to face the next 100 years if we don't do that? It's exactly what he's talking about.
Well, and if you look at any list of quality of life, you know, healthcare, education, we're at the bottom of all these lists.
All of them. Health, life expectancy now. Brutal.
JoJo Strong, $50. Thank you, JoJo. Thank you, Clayton and David, for all you do. You are the only channel I watch for updates related to COVID and stimulus. Any updates from the IRS about what people should do who already have filed their 2020 tax return who are on unemployment?
Yeah, so our tax expert, thank you so much, JoJo, for that super chat. Our tax experts told us here on the show, and I've also read that if you filed your 2020 tax return and you've claimed you've paid taxes on that unemployment, where you're going to get that $10,200 back, should be automatic, according to the IRS. It's going to be automatic. And if you haven't filed, then they are later going to have a place where you can go and update that info. But for right now, they're telling us that they're going to handle it for you automatically, which I hope is true. You got a guy like this at the head of the IRS. I don't know. We'll see, but fingers crossed. So thank you, JoJo, for that one.
Randy Spencer. Hey, Clayton, in the layout of the infrastructure bill, was there any mention of stimulus payments being part of it? I was asked this by a Gilded user.
There is discussion of it, and there are members who want there to be additional stimulus checks in this infrastructure bill. We don't yet know how that's going to, it's supposed to be about $1 trillion, $1 trillion for health and wellness and humanity, and yeah, humanity side of the bill. And then you have the infrastructure side of it, roads and bridges. So I'm hoping that we'll see some sort of extension of unemployment. We'll see another round of stimulus checks in that $1 trillion piece. But there are a number of senators and members of the House that are pushing for that. But it, according to the reporting, it's not. So New York Times, Jim Tankersley in his report breaking it down, what he's gotten, he, by the way, don't like put all of your weight in this. He's gotten some broad strokes about what's going to be in there, broad. So we don't know if they're going to be specific, like things like a check in there yet, but fingers crossed.
Joanna Hinoso, TM, and Benaya James, new members, welcome. Anna Brown, thank you, Clayton and Grover, for your honest and reliable news and caring for people as you do.
Thank you, Anna. And I think, is that Joanna Hinojosa? Hinojosa.
Hinojosa.
Because right? I remember when I was at Hinojosa, when I was in Fox at LA, Los Angeles, we had one of our reporters, and that's how she would sign off. I forget her first name, but she was like, for KTTV, Fox 11, I am Donna Hinojosa. So that's why
Hinojosa. That's a cool
recognize
name.
That name. Hinojosa. Yeah.
Stay lit, kill, 99 cents. Thank you. Talking tax, states are starting to extend deadlines regarding state returns. Clayton, for dates, see your email. I sent you the information there.
Okay, perfect.
And Ricardo Castro with a super sticker. Thank you. Sam Smith and Blanca Chiones, new members. Welcome. DJ Tabasco, is outlet finance a savings account? Interested.
They are a savings account alternative. Let me pull up their website here. So if you want to sign up for Outlet, you'll get 9% on every dollar you put into savings. I know it sounds like a lot. It's true. I personally use Outlet, and it's a savings account alternative backed by cryptocurrency. That's why the interest rate is so high. Okay. So you go to morninginvest.com/outlet. And you can sign up for however much money you want. It's a savings account. And you'll earn 9% compounded per year. So for instance, like here, I'll show you my account. This is a little bit of saving, some of my savings in my savings account. So I will show you my personal account so you can see. So you can see the interest on the interest calculator here, right here, 9% per year. Okay. But then you can see the interest that's pending. That's the interest that's going to be sent to me this month or whatever. $60 in interest just because it's a 9% interest rate. So really, really good savings account alternative backed by cryptocurrency. That's why the interest rate is so high. So thank you for that question, DJ.
Norman Collins, Clayton, what is going on in Georgia right now? Senator Warnock just got rep out of jail.
Well, so this, I debated on whether or not to do this story. We covered it in the newsletter this morning, but I didn't have enough time to do it in today's show. But, you know, Representative Cannon down there in Georgia went to the governor's office because of this voting bill yesterday. And Governor Kemp of Georgia was behind closed doors signing this bill that removes voting deposit boxes, voting boxes, ballot boxes, makes it illegal for anyone to hand out water and food to people in line while they're waiting hours to vote. So this is like seen as a, you know, hey, it's easier to go buy a gun in Georgia than it is to vote. And after they lost that election down there, after Republicans lost that election down there, that you bet darn sure they're going to make it more difficult for people of color to go and vote in the United States. That's exactly what happened in Georgia. So Representative Cannon was furious, and she's a representative. And so she went to knock on the governor's office door and demand to see him and wanting to know, like, are you going to sign this bill behind closed doors, you coward? And here's what happened.
Why does she have to step back? She's like, I'm going to put some hand sanitizer on. I'm going to knock on the door.
He's the governor is signing a bill that affects all Georgians. Why is he doing it in private? And why is he trying to keep elected officials who are representing us out of the process?
Are you serious?
No, you are not. Represent.
No. She's not under arrest.
What is for what? Arrest? Under arrest for what? For trying to see something that our governor is doing? Our governor is signing a bill that affects all Georgians, and you're going to arrest an elected representative. Why does the governor have more power than a representative? Why are you arresting her?
That's what I'm asking.
Stop arresting her.
Why are you arresting her?
Cite the violation. Cite the code. What is she in violation of? I want you to cite the code. Cite the code. Cite it. What are you? Cite the code. Cite the code. Cite the code. Why are you arresting her? Under what? Under what?
Back up. Get out of the way.
Under what law are you arresting her? Why are you arresting her? What?
So, you know, if you're a white person and you break into a Capitol building, you'll have those officers open the door for you and let you in. But if you're a black woman who is a representative of the state of Georgia, going there to knock on the governor's door to talk to him about a bill that's being signed, you get arrested. It's America.
Zena Star.
Representative Warnock, or Senator Warnock went down there furious, spoke with reporters, and he said it's a very sad day for the state of Georgia. What we've witnessed today is a very desperate attempt to lock out and squeeze the people out of their own democracy. He said people are being locked down and locked out of their democracy. This effort to silence the voices of Georgians will not stand. What do you think about it? Let me know in the comments below.
And Lisa Grace, $50. Can I get a good stock investment?
How about this, Lisa? Let me ask you this. Are you a subscriber to our newsletter? Lisa, just you put it over on the chat on the right-hand side. Are you a subscriber to the newsletter, Lisa? Because Sunday... Here's Luna from Becky Vauter, sent in this cute picture, looking at the... So Lisa, if you are a subscriber to our newsletter, on Sunday, I'm going to be having an awesome stock setup for you that I'm investing in. So I will tell you about it on Sunday, and you're going to love it. So Lisa, make sure you're subscribed to the Morning Invest newsletter. Go to morninginvest.com. Did Lisa answer me over on the right side? Lisa?
I've not seen it yet.
Okay. I will give you something right now, though. On the crypto side, if you're interested in this, today, this one's going to have some interesting news. This one I'm invested in. It's called Measurable Data Token. It's a crypto coin. And I'm waiting on some news today, so because it's going to be big. So you can see it's popping up again. You've got some support lines here and some support lines here and here. So I bought into MDT as a crypto. So that's one little one for you. And we're expecting some news from MDT today. This afternoon, so it could really shoot this thing up. But that's what I'm invested in. I can't give you advice on what to buy, but that's what I bought. Hope that helps, Lisa.
C4 Streets, just wondering why I received my taxes and got back $3,000 and I normally get $9,000 and I file 3 dependents under the ages of 5, 7, and 10 and received unemployment.
Well, they screwed up. So hopefully they say they will correct it. If they do not correct it, then I assume like Michelle or John, like they'll have to go to that website. They'll have to go to irs.gov and they'll have to put that info in the website. Right? I would think. Let's see here. Eventually, like if you... They say they're going to send it, though. I mean, they're saying it's going to be automatic. So I guess we're just waiting to see if they actually send it to you. Again, it's such a crappy process. It makes no sense to me. Someone painted a Grover picture? What? Who did this?
That's awesome.
Rocky Shepherd painted a Grover picture, a portrait of Grover. That is adorbs. That, thank you so much.
You looks need like that on your like on your wall somewhere.
I'm going to hang that up in my office. I'm going to put that in my office. Thank you so much. I didn't even see that. Thank you, Rocky. Is Rocky watching right now? I hope he is. Or her. I don't know if Rocky's a nickname or a... That's great, though. What a great artist, Rocky.
Brandy Kinney wants to know, what Sweet. Range of money would you recommend a new investor to start with to have a chance to get a good return from it?
Honestly, a few hundred dollars. I mean, look, I'm a real estate investor. That takes more money, right? So I own properties. I build, you know, new construction properties. That's been, that's really how I started my investing journey because I like tangible assets. I'm not necessarily a fan of paper assets and stocks unless it's companies I believe in, like Apple. Long-term companies that aren't going anywhere, companies that I use their products on a daily basis, you know? And then up cryptocurrency, I'm really bullish on because I don't trust our government currency to last. And I don't think any of us should if history repeats itself. So with crypto, you know, you can get in pretty easily for a few hundred dollars. Today, I'm going to be publishing a video over on my personal YouTube channel. Where is here? Come on over here if you want to learn some investing, where I talk about crypto and some different stocks and real estate. It's just youtube.com/ClaytonMorris. And I'm going to be publishing a video in about maybe an hour or two, where I'm going to talk about three different crypto coins that I am investing in right now. And remember, some of these crypto coins you can buy for like 1/100th of a penny. Like they're that cheap. So if you buy $100, you're getting a lot of that coin. And then if it goes up just a little bit, you're able to see huge returns. I mean, we're seeing like 500, 600% returns in some coins, 1400% returns in some coins, some of these altcoins. So if you want to check out my other YouTube channel where I'm going to be talking more about that and some crypto news, come on over there, youtube.com/ClaytonMorris. Hope that helps. Like I said, you don't have to use very much to get started. I know one friend who's in one of our trading groups got started with $200 and is now at $26,000 from just trading crypto.
Okay, last super chat. The clip from Georgia made me quote a famous clown. We live in a society. By the way, my bank got suspicious because of all the chats I was sending. LMAO. And Darren Williams, new member, welcome.
Well, Grover thanks you for watching today. He thanks you especially for all of your great interaction. And I want to thank Rocky for this amazing picture. This is going on my wall. I need to get, I maybe contact you about getting the original of it somehow. Maybe I can just print it out this way. We'll see. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. Have a great weekend. Come over to my other YouTube channel, everyone. youtube.com/ClaytonMorris. And I'm going to be publishing some crypto news. If you're interested in investing and learning that stuff, feel free to come over there. David, my friend, have a great weekend. And
thank you. You too. I'm putting the link to your channel in chat really quick.
Oh, good. All right. So the link to the other channel will be here because sometimes people say they can't find it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. All right, so it's now in the chat. Is it pinned to the top?
I'm pinning it right now.
Let me pin it.
There we go.
Okay. All right, it's pinned to the top, everyone. All right. Thank you, everyone. Much love to all of you. I will see you back here real soon. Bye.